Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Permian Strategic Partnership announces 21st member by Odessa American, July 27, 2023. Midland. The Permian Strategic Partnership, or PSP, in a Thursday press release announced that Champion X, a global leader in chemistry solutions, artificial lift systems, emissions technology, and other highly engineered equipment and solutions that help companies drill and produce oil and gas safely, has become the organization's 21st member. With this addition, Champion X joins an impressive roster of top-tier companies committed to responsibly developing resources in the Permian Basin while improving residents' quality of life in West Texas and southeastern New Mexico. As our 21st member, Champion X is now an essential part of the PSP and our vision, bringing with them an outstanding reputation of innovation and steadfast commitment to improving the community, said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP, in the release. The team at Champion X will help fuel transformative initiatives that further PSP's mission, leaving a lasting mark on countless lives in the Permian Basin. Since its founding in 2019, the PSP has achieved incredible results in its mission to improve the lives of residents across the Permian Basin. This groundbreaking coalition has committed $130 million in member company contributions to leverage and impressive over $1 billion in collective investments, which have had transformational impacts on education, healthcare, workforce development, and road safety in the region. Our purpose of improving lives translates into creating a meaningful and lasting impact in the areas we serve, Shankar Annamalai, Senior Vice President, Permian Basin at Champion X, said in the release. We firmly believe that the strength of any community lies in the well-being of its citizens, and today we take another step forward in the journey to support and empower the Permian community. This membership reflects our genuine commitment to make a difference in people's lives and drive positive change. We believe our membership in the Permian Strategic Partnership will help address critical challenges while also identifying new opportunities for sustainable growth and development. By investing in key areas such as education, healthcare, environmental conservation, local businesses, the PSP enhances the overall quality of life for community members, including our more than 1,000 team members who live and work in the region. Permian Strategic Partnership announces 21st member by Odessa American, July 27, 2023. Midland. The Permian Strategic Partnership, or PSP, in a Thursday press release announced that Champion X, a global leader in chemistry solutions, artificial lift systems, emissions technology, and other highly engineered equipment and solutions that help companies drill and produce oil and gas safely, has become the organization's 21st member. With this addition, Champion X joins an impressive roster of top-tier companies committed to responsibly developing resources in the Permian Basin while improving residents' quality of life in West Texas and southeastern New Mexico. As our 21st member, Champion X is now an essential part of the PSP and our vision, bringing with them an outstanding reputation of innovation and steadfast commitment to improving the community, said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP, in the release. The team at Champion X will help fuel transformative initiatives that further PSP's mission, leaving a lasting mark on countless lives in the Permian Basin. Since its founding in 2019, the PSP has achieved incredible results in its mission to improve the lives of residents across the Permian Basin. This groundbreaking coalition has committed $130 million in member company contributions to leverage and impressive over $1 billion in collective investments, which have had transformational impacts on education, healthcare, workforce development, and road safety in the region. Our purpose of improving lives translates into creating a meaningful and lasting impact in the areas we serve, Shankar Annamalai, Senior Vice President, Permian Basin at Champion X, said in the release. We firmly believe that the strength of any community lies in the well-being of its citizens, and today we take another step forward in the journey to support and empower the Permian community. This membership reflects our genuine commitment to make a difference in people's lives and drive positive change. We believe our membership in the Permian Strategic Partnership will help address critical challenges while also identifying new opportunities for sustainable growth and development by investing in key areas such as education, healthcare, environmental conservation, local businesses. The PSP enhances the overall quality of life for community members, including our more than 1,000 team members who live and work in the region. Powerman 5000 to perform at Ector Theater by Odessa American, July 27, 2023. The Ector Theater at 500 North Texas Avenue has scheduled Powerman 5000 with special guest Julian K. Kilter and Gone by 9 from 7:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. August 10th. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/YU62R6S5. Rural Texas may lose out on billions in broadband infrastructure funding due to federal regulations by guest contributor, July 27, 2023, by Jamie Lozano Carver, The Texas Tribune, Lubbock. When Texas was awarded $3.3 billion in federal money last month toward expanding broadband infrastructure across the state, government leaders and telecommunication companies celebrated the news. With more than 7 million residents disconnected from the rest of the World Wide Web, Texas's broadband needs were no secret. With the federal funds coupled with $1.5 billion from the state's wallet, rural and underserved Texas communities finally saw a chance to catch up with technology in the rest of the country. 1 month later, as the state prepares to submit a five-year plan to federal agencies on broadband deployment, the finer details of who may qualify for federal money in the Broadband Equity, Access, and Deployment Program have come into sharper focus. And rural Texas advocates and owners of smaller telecommunications companies worried the communities they serve will be shut out of the historic investment. The regulations require each telecommunication company applying for a grant to provide a letter of credit from a major bank that covers at least 25% of the proposed project, essentially putting millions of dollars on the table to apply for a grant it isn't guaranteed to receive. This is a feasible task for big service providers with access to a qualified bank, but for rural companies, it's a different story. For many of them, the requirement that they work with a major bank to secure funding is another hurdle in their efforts to bring broadband access to their own backyard. These requirements were set by the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, which advises the president on telecommunications policy issues and will distribute the funds. The requirements are meant to protect the federal investment. Federal efforts to expand internet access with fewer safeguards have flopped. The Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, a previous attempt by the Federal Communications Commission to expand broadband, is estimated to have $2.8 billion in defaults. Kelty Garby, executive director of Texas Rural Funders, said she understands the requirement exists to prevent people from accepting money but not following through with the projects. However, she is concerned the rule disenfranchises rural providers. This is going to prevent the communities it's intended to serve from being able to access the money, Garby said. The Federal Telecommunications Administration declined to comment for this article. The administration did accept public comments regarding the rules after a notice was released last year. Karen Lightman with Carnegie Mellon University Hines College said that in order to avoid a repeat of funding problems, rural communities will need guidance. This is going to take public-private partnership, and the reality is the state is going to have to help set that up and figure out the provisions, Lightman said. The Texas Broadband Development Office has until August 28th to submit its five-year plan to the National Telecommunications and Information Administration for funding. Comptroller Glenn Hager's office, which oversees the state's broadband office, did not respond to a request for comment. TotalCom, a rural internet service provider, started as a small cooperative in rural De Leon and now serves 10,000 businesses and households in Central Texas. Jennifer Prather, TotalCom CEO, said she hasn't decided yet if her company will apply for the federal grants. This is harder for us to overcome than those large providers who have already chosen not to serve those areas, Prather said. This is something a large national provider doesn't have a problem with, but they're not the ones out there doing this already. Like other rural service providers, Prather was hopeful about what the money could mean for connecting rural Texas, which has historically had little access to broadband. Now she is waiting to see how the state might help before applying. Prather's business banks locally, and that bank isn't one of the federal government's pre-approved list. If she chooses to apply for federal funding, Prather will have to find the closest qualified bank, become a customer, and put in enough money or assets to match 25% of the grant. If her funding application is denied, all the extra steps were essentially for nothing. To Prather, there has to be a better way for the Telecommunications Administration to ensure a project gets completed. Just to get these letters of credit can be impossible without tying up a bunch of funds, Prather said. It's one of many issues that, added together, make us want to put our hands up and say, we're just not going to do that. There are additional concerns from larger internet providers in rural Texas. Etex Telephone Cooperative serves a slightly larger customer base in Gilmer. The East Texas-based company serves 14,000 customers and could still run into problems obtaining federal grants, even though it is a bigger service provider. We would probably be limited on how big of a project we would be able to take on because of the cap from our local bank. And that's one we're established with, said Charlie Cano, CEO of Etex Telephone Cooperative. If we go to a bigger bank, we know what they would ask for us to bring to the table in order. Cano is also concerned about the long-term sustainability of what's built, particularly with fiber, and how much it will cost to keep it updated without limiting funding from the BEAD program. The Broadband Development Office is hosting public meetings through August 16th throughout the state to get local input on the state's broadband needs. Disclosure: the Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts and Texas Rural Funders have been a financial supporter of the Texas Tribune, a nonprofit, nonpartisan news organization that is funded in part by donations. Donations from members, foundations, and corporate sponsors. Financial supporters play no role in the Tribune's journalism. Find a complete list of them here. This article originally appeared in Texas Tribune. The Texas Tribune is a member-supportive, nonpartisan newsroom informing and engaging Texans on state politics and policy. Learn more at texastribune.org. Soaring labor costs at Southwest Airlines overshadow record revenue as summer travel revs up. By Associated Press, July 27, 2023. By David Koenig, AP Airlines writer. Dallas. Southwest Airlines said second quarter earnings dropped 10% to $683 million as labor costs soared, offsetting record revenue at the start of the peak summer travel season. The airline also warned Thursday that a key revenue ratio will drop and non-fuel costs will rise in the third quarter. The shares fell more than 9% in afternoon trading. It marked the stock's biggest one-day percentage decline since early 2020, shortly after the COVID-19 pandemic crippled air travel. Southwest said that revenue for every seat flown 1 mile, a closely watched ratio in the airline business, fell 8.3% in the second quarter and will drop by between 3% and 7% in the third quarter compared with the same periods last year. That outlook will amplify concerns around slowing domestic air travel demand, said Cowen airline analyst Helene Becker. A report earlier this week from Alaska Airlines fanned worries that demand for air travel, especially within the United States, might finally be cooling after recovering strongly from the pandemic. Southwest and Alaska both operate mostly domestic flights, and they are benefiting less than bigger rivals Delta, United, and American from the boom in international flying. Southwest CEO Robert Jordan sought to assure the market, saying that more than half of the decline in the second quarter revenue ratio could be explained by additional money that Southwest booked a year ago. Southwest recognized revenue based on the expectation that some pandemic-era vouchers and credits would not be used before they expired. Southwest has since said vouchers won't expire, and that caused a $300 million hit to revenue in this year's second quarter, the CEO said. Jordan said demand is still strong and the airline is 70% booked for the third quarter, ahead of where it would normally be in late July. The average one-way fare on Southwest dropped nearly 3% compared with last summer for $179.44, Jordan said. However, that fares actually rose 2% after excluding the revenue Southwest recognized from year to year from unused vouchers. Southwest and other airlines are trying to adapt changes in travel habits since the pandemic. Business travel has yet to recover, causing airlines to tweak their schedules to attract more leisure flyers. Southwest is scheduling more long flights, and it is reducing early morning and late night flights. In the second quarter results from Dallas-based Southwest, which were aided by lower fuel prices, beat analyst expectations. The company predicted record revenue and another profit in the third quarter, but warned of higher non-fuel costs. Southwest is locked in drawn-out negotiations with pilots and flight attendants who have not received pay raises in several years. Unions are aiming to match higher wages by counterparts at other major U.S. airlines, including up to 40% more pay over 4 years at United. It's a great time to be negotiating as a pilot, Jordan told CNBC. Southwest struggled with a shortage of pilots as travel began recovering last year, but Jordan said it will soon be caught up. He vowed to match industry pay scales. The Southwest Airlines Pilots Association says more people are quitting. Southwest officials conceded the union's point, but said it's because the hot job market for pilots has led some of them to job hop. It's a record year for our pilot hiring. It's also a record year for pilot attrition, Chief Operating Officer Andrew Watterson said on a call with analysts and reporters. We do see some people come and leave right away. Southwest said it still expects to hit its target of adding 1,700 net pilot jobs this year. Southwest's profit fell from $760 million a year earlier, excluding special items. Earnings per share were $1.09, matching the mean forecast in a fact-set survey of analysts. Revenue rose 5% to a quarterly record of $7.4 billion, topping the $6.98 billion prediction of analysts. Southwest's labor costs rose 25.5% from a year earlier, an increase of more than $500 million, and the airline said third quarter non-fuel costs would rise by 3.5% to 6.5% for each seat flown 1 mile, mostly in anticipation of higher wages. Southwest Airlines company spent 14% less on fuel than a year earlier, a savings more than $200 million because of lower prices. U.S. price and wage increases slow further in the latest signs of cooling inflation by the Associated Press, July 28, 2023, by Christopher Rugeber, AP economics writer. Washington. Signs that inflation pressures in the United States are steadily easing emerge Friday in reports that consumer prices rose in June at their slowest pace in more than 2 years and that wage growth cooled last quarter. Together, the figures provided the latest signs that the Federal Reserve's drive to tame inflation may succeed without triggering a recession. A price gouge closely monitored the Fed rose just 3% in June from a year earlier. That was down from a 3.8% annual increase in May, though still above the Fed's 2% inflation target. On a monthly basis, prices rose 0.2% from May to June, up slightly from 0.1% the previous month. Last month's sharp slowdown in year-over-year inflation largely reflected falling gas prices as well as milder increases in grocery costs. With supply chains having largely healed from the post-pandemic disruptions, the costs in new and used cars, furniture, and appliances also fell in June. A measure of core prices, which excludes volatile food and energy costs, did remain elevated even though it also eased last month. Though still high, underlying inflation pressures are a key reason why the Fed raised its short-term interest rate Wednesday to a 22-year high. Core prices were still 4.1% higher than they were a year ago, well above the Fed's target, though down from 4.6% in May. From May to June, core inflation was just 0.2%, down from 0.3% the previous month, an encouraging sign. An encouraging report Friday from the Labor Department shows that a gauge of wages and salaries grew more slowly in the April to June quarter, suggesting that employers were feeling less pressure to boost pay as the job market cools. Those figures helped lend support to the hope that the Fed can achieve a soft landing, conquering high inflation while still keeping the economy growing. Employee pay, excluding government workers, rose 1%, down from 1.2% in the first 3 months of 2023. Compared with an earlier year, wages and salaries grew 4.6%, down from 5.1% in the first quarter. The Fed is closely watching the pay gauge, known as the Employment Cost Index. Smaller wage increases should slow inflation over time because companies are less likely to need to raise prices to cover their higher labor costs. Taken together, Friday's data will provide further support to the view that the economy is in the midst of a soft landing, said Kathy Bostanjic, chief economist at Nationwide. The softer wage data, she suggested, will be welcomed by Fed officials. The inflation report that the Commerce Department issued Friday also showed that Americans' willingness to keep spending despite 2 years of high inflation and 11 Fed rate hikes over 17 months remains a powerful driver of the economy. Consumer spending rose 0.5% from May to June, up from 0.2% the previous month. The U.S. economy is in a hopeful but precarious place. A solid job market is bolstering hiring, lifting wages, and keeping unemployment near a half-century low. Yet inflation is weakening rather than rising, as it typically does when unemployment is low. That suggests that the Fed may be able to achieve a difficult soft landing for the economy in which inflation falls toward the Fed's 2% target without triggering a deep recession. The Fed's policymakers, though, are concerned that the steadily growing economy should help perpetuate inflation. This can occur as persistent consumer demand enables more companies to raise prices, thereby keeping inflation above the Fed's target and potentially causing the central bank to raise rates even higher. The latest evidence of the economy's resilience came Thursday when the government reported that it grew at a 2.4% annual rate in the April-June quarter, faster than analysts had forecast, and an acceleration from a 2% growth in the first 3 months of the year. At a news conference on Wednesday, Chair Jerome Powell suggested that the Fed's benchmark short-term rate, now at about 5.3%, was high enough to restrain the overall economy and likely tame inflation over time. But Powell added that the Fed would need to see more evidence that inflation has been sustainably subdued before it would consider ending its rate hikes. Powell declined to offer any signal of the central bank's likely next moves. In June, Fed officials had forecast 2 more rate hikes this year, including Wednesday's. I would say it is certainly possible that we would raise rates again at the September meeting if the data warranted, Powell said Wednesday, and I would also say it's possible that we would choose to hold steady at that meeting.
Hi, I am continuing the Midland Reporter Telegram for July 22nd. In Community, Gardeners Provide Resources Native Fauna Needs by Emmy Olmschneider. During the summer, I love to sit out on the patio and watch butterflies in my garden. All day long, especially on these hot summer days, they bring color and movement to my garden from the smallest butterfly in North America, the western pygmy blue, Perfidium exile, to one of the largest, the black swallowtail, Papilio polixenes. Recently, on my last walk through the garden, I saw a swallowtail that was in distress on a parsley plant. And sure enough, on my first walk the following morning, I found her dead. I could tell by the condition of her worn and tattered wings that she had been in my garden for a while. So I decided to look closer at the black swallowtail caterpillar host plants which I grow in my garden. Parsley, fennel, and celery. All members of the Apiaceae family. And as I hoped, I spotted a large black swallowtail caterpillar. I touched it gently, just enough to make the osmeterium, an orange-colored forked gland on the head, to extend and release a strong smell. I wondered if these two, the caterpillar and the adult butterfly, were related. As I continued walking, I spotted 5 male and female black swallowtails nectaring on various native and non-native plants. One of their favorite plants, judging by the time they spent on it, is the American basket flower, Centaurea americana. It gets the name basket flower from the basket-like arrangement of bracts that form the base of the flower. This showy pink and white, spineless thistle look-alike also attracts native bees. A native Texas prairie annual, it is easy to sow from seed and germinates best in a wet spring. Collect and save the seeds from the seed head at the end of the season and broadcast them in an area you would like to have them in next year. So this tale of two butterflies, a swallow's tale, illustrates the importance we as gardeners have in providing the resources within our yards that our native fauna needs. Although the adult black swallowtail butterfly can nectar on a wide variety of plants, the caterpillar has a specific larval host plant family that it prefers. And these same caterpillar host plants are the ones I plant and value as culinary herbs or a vegetable for cooking or eating. It's a win-win situation for both of us when I choose to plant these plants. If you are curious about the common butterfly species, their caterpillar host plants, and top nectar plants in our area, check out this North American Butterfly Association, NABA, publication originally compiled by our leading naturalist in our area, www.naba.org/FTP/MICO.PDF. If you have questions, call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700. Additional information in our blog for access to past articles is available at westtexasgardening.org. Click on Resources. Hi, I'm continuing the Midland Reporter Telegram for July 22, 2023. Dear Abby, pickleball partnership may be too much of a good thing. Dear Abby, I play pickleball with a nice group of people. Partners normally split after each game. One day, however, a woman told me I was her favorite partner. From that day on, she played with me as often as possible, even though she could have chosen partners who were better players than me and won more games. Abby, she's the most attractive woman I've ever met, and not just physically. She's smart, friendly, athletic, caring, supportive, and really fun to play with. I'm not used to having women like her pay attention to me, and it feels great. She's married, but I can't help having a crush on her, a feeling I'm pretty sure is not mutual and therefore not appropriate, yet I think about her all the time. How can I get over this feeling? Should I tell her I have a crush on her, which would probably drive her away? Should I quit being her partner, or should I just keep everything the same and hope that the attraction gradually fades? I love playing with her, and I don't want to stop. Big crush in New York. Dear crush, what if you tell this woman you have a crush on her and she responds by telling you she also has a crush on you? Where would that lead? She's married. Clearly, there is a mutual attraction, and it isn't based on how well you play the game of pickleball. Maybe you are easy to be around, or she likes your sense of humor. Your crush may or may not fade with time. Because you enjoy the contact you have with her, continue being her partner unless it progresses to something that makes either of you too uncomfortable. Or too comfortable. Dear Abby, I've been in a relationship for nearly 20 years. We are not married. For 3/4 of this relationship, I have been the one who pays for everything with my disability check. He refuses to look for a job. When I told him a few years back that I wasn't happy, his only reaction before leaving the room was to ask, "Do you love me?" Every time I mentioned the bills or his getting a job, I met with excuses. We had talked about moving because I had received an inheritance. Now it's as if his ideas for home are more important than mine, plus I'm still expected to pay for it all. I want out, but he has a lot of stuff, and I mean a lot, and nowhere to go. I feel guilty, and I know I have let it happen and have tolerated it, but if I say anything, he acts like a 5-year-old having a tantrum. He's very negative and mocks anything I try to do to improve myself. Please tell me what to do. Looking for a way out. Dear Looking, when your freeloader asked, "Do you love me?" you should have responded with, "Do you love me?" because if you do, you would find a job and help with the finances. Sponging off a lonely woman isn't love. It's extortion. If you really want to improve yourself, give him a date to get himself and his stuff out of there and stick to it. Warning, you may need to consult an attorney so you know your options, because his tantrums, rather than being a sign of love, appear to be an attempt to bully you into letting him continue to take advantage.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.